that we may sit down at your table and feast. And as we are gathered, Lord, we ask that you would break every wall of division now. Like you brought down the walls of Jericho. And bring us all in a oneness, Lord, that we may be your church. Because we desire to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Father, we thank you for looking beyond our faults and seeing to each one of our needs. And now, Father, we ask that you would have your way. As I stand here, Lord, I ask that you would consecrate me, that I may be used as only a vessel. Come now, Holy Spirit, manifest. Teach us and preach to us. Encourage us and shape us and mold us. Through your holy word, we give thanks unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Beginning at verse number 19. It says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a certain mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been the law. But the scripture has confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Do you believe? But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Kept for the faith, which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We're no longer under the law. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Isn't that good? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Promised faith. Amen. 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 And God does not break any promises. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In this particular book, Paul writes to the church at Galatia And in this particular chapter, he wants the believers to understand that we were justified through faith. We were not justified by nothing that we'd done. We were not justified by our high educations. We were not justified because we know the Old Testament and the New Testament. We were justified by faith, which means because God is the one who has given us a measure of faith, it is all God and not man. Therefore, God made a promise unto Abraham, and then he promised that all nations should be blessed. At that particular time, there was God bringing forth the covenant, which was the Abram covenant and also the Mosaic covenant, and both covenants were spoken under the law. And so there was a law given, but in each covenant, Christ did not come that the law would be taken away, but he came that the law would be fulfilled. So then he paints a picture of the Abram covenant and the Mosaic covenant. Abram plus Mosaic equals Christ Jesus. Understanding that both covenants are very important, and both covenants brought us to Christ Jesus, and without one covenant, there is no Christ, and without the other covenant, Christ could not come. So then, God points out to us that faith is the key ingredient, and faith wasn't even mentioned in the Old Testament except for in Deuteronomy when he mentions that we came by faith. And so the people of faith. And so then it is supposedly the church is the ones who are leading the people into the faith, because people may not read the Bible, but they will read your walk. And people are used to seeing things, and seeing causes believing. But God told us faith is not seeing. Do not put your faith in the things that are seen, for the things that are seen is temporal. But we must have faith in God. And so we have put our faith in so many things, and we have become accustomed to doing that. We believe that if we work all week, come payday, we get a paycheck. Amen? We believe that when we get that check, if we take it to the bank, they will give us money for the check that we gave them. Right? We don't believe that when we get there, the bank is going to say we're out of money. We, by faith, we just believe it, because we have become accustomed to worldly stuff. God wants you to be accustomed to what he said from the beginning of time. God breaks down in chapter number 12 of Genesis. He breaks down his promises to Abraham, and he says, you shall be blessed and you shall be a blessing. Then he tells Abraham in verse number 3, he said, and all the nations shall be blessed. Amen. Then in comes Moses. Moses comes along, and Moses leads God's people out of Egypt. So then we see a picture of Jews and Gentiles, because the Israelites were the Jews and the Egyptians were the Gentiles. But God said, I'm going to bring my chosen people out. So he brings them out of Egypt, where they were held captive, into, he sets them free. In the same way, he paints a picture. When we were held captive of the world, he brought us out of the world through his word and set us all free just by believing. Amen. Somebody shout Jesus. It was that name that freed us from the law. And by nature, no one could keep the law, because the law was written, and the law was written so that it would give us borders. God knew that there was no man that could keep the law. So he had grace in place, and grace was coming through Jesus. So in Ephesians, Paul says, by grace you have been saved. Through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a work of God. You are his workmanship. In other words, he's saying, by grace, you've been saved, and all you got to do is believe it and watch God work in your life, because you can't do the work. Only faith can do the work, and you got to believe in the God who's working on you. He who begun a good thing is faithful to complete it. It is not you that completes it, it is you that believes it. You could never operate in the will of God unless you believe that God was operating you. And when you begin to operate you operate outside of the will of God. That's why I tell people all the time, don't get too excited about what you see in the spirit realm and you want to go and run and get it done. Let God work through you. Don't try to work God on your plan. Work in God's plan. And so Paul he writes to the Church of Galatia, and I believe the Lord wants us to know that he promised, and God will never break a promise. What did God promise Abraham? I believe in chapter number 12. Can you put it on the board of Genesis, chapter number 12? I want you to see this promise that he makes to Abraham. Verse 1. And now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Number one promise, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Abraham, now check this out, it says, God counted Abraham unto righteousness because he believed. He didn't count him righteous because of what he did. Because the truth be told, Abraham was just like you. He had flesh on his body, but he heard from the Lord. And when he heard from the Lord, he got up and went to where the Lord told him to go. And when he got to the place, while he was going to where God told him to go, there were some times he called on God and he didn't hear anything. But it did not stop him from keep going. Why? Because it wasn't him going. It was what he believed that kept him going. That's why I wanted to remind you. Some of you have been saying, I'm trying to hear from God, and God's not saying anything, and I'm not hearing anything from God. I want you to know, you don't have to hear from him all the time. The faith that he's put in you will keep you going if you believe. So he counts that unto righteousness because he believed. The Bible nowhere says he doubted. Now, Abraham, when I say he was just like you, Abraham was called out by God. The promises were the seeds of Abraham, but Abraham had issues, just like you do. He had fear sometimes. They call him a man of faith. But when he was going on his journey, he ran into a king, and the king was looking at his wife. And so he thought the king would kill him and take his wife from him. So the king said, who is this? He said, that's my sister. He lied, just like you. You know, every now and then, I'm not going to say now, but you told two or three lies before. And sometimes you'll get under pressure and want it to work out your way, and you'll tell what they call a white lie. A lie is just a lie, just so you know. That's right. I looked it up in the dictionary. Wasn't no colors with it. And so Abraham was a liar. Then he marries a woman that has issues because she didn't believe like he believed. And then when God told her that she was going to have a child, the Bible says she laughed within herself. So you got a laugher hooked up with a liar. Now that's comical. And God calls him righteous. Because it's not about the action. It's about what you believe. How many of you have messed up before? How many of you believe in Jesus? Jesus is the only one that ever walked this earth that has not messed up. Thereby, if we understand that God has made us a promise of faith, and it's not a promise of faith that you have given yourself, it's easy for you to have faith in stuff. It's easy for you to have faith in people. But how many of you are ready just to have dogmatic faith in God? I'm talking dogmatic faith. I'm talking about that faith when trouble is staring you right in the face and you can look at trouble and say, you're not going to worry me today. I'm going to go over here and worship the one who has given me faith. Is there anybody here that's tired of worrying, tired of doubting, and ready to just worship the true and living God for being who he is? The God of promise. And when we hear the word promise, because the world has used the word so many times, so many broken promises, starting off in life, people have failed you, said they would be with you, and now they're gone. Let me put it on the other foot. You said you'd be with them, and now you gone. We have failed one another because our promises are not God promises. God is the only one that makes a promise, and it becomes a covenant. It's a promise that cannot be broken. God promised you that you shall be blessed, and if you don't feel blessed, you better wake up today and say that you are blessed, because God cannot break a promise. You are a blessed people. Yes. So Paul said we were justified by faith. Faith justified you. You do not justify yourself. Isn't it something how we want to use in the walk of God our resume that we use in the walk of the world? What you've done, how accomplished you are. Do you know God, the Bible says, he takes the least and make them the best. God says, I don't work the way the world works. So don't try to come and impress me about what you've done. Because truly you've done nothing, and everything that was done through my son, Jesus Christ. Because nothing that was done ever would consist without him bringing it to existence. So then man can take no credit for nothing. And if we can take no credit for nothing, that means we should be more humble. So he says, he justified us. While we were guilty, he justified us. He didn't stop there. He also exemplified us. He didn't stop there. So not only you justified, meaning that whatever you've done, when the blood of Christ, when you believed, you became justified. You've been cleared of everything. Go ahead and say, I'm free. He cleaned you up of your past. He cleaned you up of all that filth that goes through your mind. He cleaned you up from all those places that you wandered into, all the baggage that you've been carrying around. He cleaned you up. You have been justified by faith. Shall I believe it? He exemplified you, which means that he made you heirs to him. He set you high above everything that you went and got yourself in. He picked you up in the worldly mess and put you in a miracle palace. God did it all by himself. exemplified. And he didn't stop there. He sanctified you. He bathed you in holiness. He didn't stop there. Say, what's next, Pastor? He unified you. Now, wait. He unified you with him. You are joint heirs with Christ. Hold up. Come here for a minute. If you're with Christ, it would be one thing because you're with them. You say, I kicked it with my buddy. I was with them. But to be a joint with him means that now you're tied with him. When you're with somebody, you just can go. But he says, I made you a joint heir. So if you try to go, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, he go. He said, I'm joint heirs with you. You might try to leave me, but the word says I would never leave you, nor would I forsake you. So you walk out if you want, but I'm going to walk with you because I am unified joint heirs with you. Oh, isn't that good? Now, wait. I looked at it for a minute. I said, wait, Jay. He justified her. E, he exemplified her. S, he sanctified us. U, he unified us. There's one thing missing. There's one more S. J, E, S, U, S, justify. Exemplify, sanctify, unify. Well, then, if that's the case, you ought to be satisfied. Is there anybody in here who's satisfied with being justified and exemplified and sanctified and unified? He did it all. He did it all. Through a name, Jesus, and he said, attach your faith. He says, believe in Jesus. And so we get down, he says, in verse 22, he says, but all scripture has confirmed all under sin. That the promise by faith in Jesus. Okay, and when we have faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. He says, we're all under sin. Everybody, when they come out the womb, they enter a world of sin. They take on a sin nature as a baby. That's why he teaches for them to write the word of God on the children's heart as they are babies. Let them hear the word. That's why we got a speaker in the nursery, so the babies can hear the word. It's not that they get the word. It's not even like you get the word. It's the word getting you. See, we had it all wrong. You are not getting it. It is getting you. Because I told you, this is a God thing, not a you thing. Says that if we believe. And then Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever in him shall have everlasting life, right? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life, right? So he said, it's in the belief system. God gave you a system. He gave you a CPU. And a computer runs by a CPU, a central processing unit. Without that central processing unit, it cannot hold data. So God has given us a CPU called the Holy Spirit. That CPU holds all the data. So when the word comes in, the Holy Spirit says, that's what I'm supposed to hold, and grabs hold to the word. Now, because the Holy Spirit is in you and it grabs that word, it has a new CPU and it's holding the word. And you've been holding on to the world, but the CPU in you is holding on to the word. And the word is changing you because the word has more power than the world. In the process of time, it was God who told Moses to take them into the promised land. But yet, it took them a long time to enter into the promised land, and it wasn't Moses that brought them in, because Moses had an issue of anger that caused him to sin. Oh, that's a whole nother subject. Let me get away from there. But Moses had to hand the baton to Joshua, and Joshua led them into the promised land. And so then there is a people now in promise, but there's a people outside of promise. But God cannot break a promise. So the Pharisees are freaking out over the law. And there's some people still today that want to talk about the law more than they want to talk about the grace. So it is by grace through faith that we have been saved, and not of ourselves. And the law will have you convict people and point fingers at them, but grace will have you love them. Ah, because it was grace that saved you. It was grace that forgave you. And you could give the same grace to forgive others, but some of us still have a lost spirit trying to break out in us, and you got to give grace instead of give law. Take your finger that's pointing at somebody else and look at the three that are pointing back at you, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost, so you don't get it twisted, and understand that you are not the judge. There is only one judge, and all you're supposed to do is give the grace out that he gave you. Amen. Isn't that good? We can almost go home now. It's just a little more. So he wants us to understand how this faith thing works. And faith is not a you thing. It is 100% God who does it all. Turn, can you put verse 5 of the same chapter 3? Put verse 5 up. And we're going to walk through a few verses. Therefore, he who supplies the spirit to you and works miracles among you, he who supplies the CPU, right? We just talked about he who supplies the spirit, his spirit in you, he who supplies to you and works miracles among you. How many of you know you're a miracle? Mm-hmm. You are a miracle. As much stuff that you did, and you didn't, oh, wait a minute. And you escaped through grace? And there's some folks you know that didn't make it to where you are right now. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The more the word of God that gets into your CPU, the more you change to be unlike you and more like him. Keep going. Verse 6. Therefore, know that only just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, which means that the promised faith that you have it now. Now you have to operate in it. I was teaching on Wednesday night. You might want to come on Wednesday. I was teaching on Wednesday night. Faith, no, Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so then faith is substance. Okay? So then, I was telling them, you have a water bottle and you have water in it. That's called the substance, right? If you empty it out, there's no substance in it, right? So there has to be substance. So faith speaks to something, right? A substance, something that exists. But evidence of not seeing it, which means that you have to see it in your spirit. What did God say about it? Listen, and so then you believe God even before it becomes a reality in the natural. You see it in the supernatural, and that's what faith is. So then, if you have faith in something you see, that's not faith in God. Having faith in God means that you don't see it, but you have hope for it. So then the question becomes, what are you hoping for? Because if you are hoping for the thing of God, then you will see the thing of God and it becomes a reality. It becomes evident. Hallelujah. And you can bring the evidence in if you could see it. But what happens is there's something that works against faith, and it's called doubt. So when you start to picture, you know, it's going to work out this way. Have you ever had some dream crushers in your life? And you start telling me your dream, that'll never happen. And you're like, why did I just share all my dream with them?
Right.
You wanted somebody to pat you on the back and say, man, I'm going to roll with you. I believe that that could happen. And that's what doubt does. Doubt tries to take everything that God is showing you from you. Because, listen, get this. The devil is not after your job. He's not after your spouse. He's not after your money. The devil wants your faith. Because if he can get your faith, then he got you. Not only that, he has every purpose that is locked up in you. Go ahead and shout, I got purpose. The reason why you are getting this word is so God can move in a greater purpose in your life. And the problem has not been that God is not ready to move. It has been you not ready to move. And the reason why you haven't been ready to move is because you didn't have this word yet. Now you know you don't have a choice. You gotta move. And what move do you make? Move out of God's way and let him have his way with you and stop trying to figure him out and write him out how you want it to be, and just move with the flow of God. Abraham was walking, didn't know where he was going, but he was on the move. And he was moving, and he said, God, where are you? And God said, he walked over, he said, God, where are you? God said, and he ran over here and said, God, I haven't heard from you in days. Where are you? God said. Has God ever said, when you was calling on him, when you really needed an answer, God, I just need to hear from you. And you said, where are you, God? And God was with you the whole time. And you wondering where he is because you're looking for him in the wrong place, in the wrong form, because you're still looking for him your way instead of looking for him Yahweh. See, you got to understand that when you look for God, you just got to look more and know that he's ever present and tell him thank you. And because you don't hear him saying nothing to you, tell him thank you anyway because you know he is with you. Don't you know he heard you? When you pray, do you know he heard you? Question, why do you keep asking him for the same thing over and over again? Because you have not attached your faith to your God. Because if you believe he has the answer and he is the solution, once you ask for it, my mama told me, when you believe you've received it, you better tell him thank you. And when you ask God for something and you know he heard you and you know it's of his will, you ought to go on a thank you tangent and make the angels in heaven stop and say, what's going on in Brentwood? Somebody is really thanking God today. There's a praise going up. Paul speaks to the church so that they would understand how important believing in God is. Our faith is not in our stuff. Stuff comes and stuff goes. And we go with it. But when you believe in God, and when you trust God, and when you just have faith in him, stuff will leave. Money will leave. And people will leave. And you'll sound like Paul. Whether above or debase, I find myself content in him. How many of you are just thankful that he saved you? How many of you are thankful that he raised you? How many of you are thankful that he's moving you? If you get in him, then you're just grateful. Can you put it back up there? We got two more verses and we're going home. Verse 8. And seeing the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, how? That God would justify the Gentiles, how?
By faith.
So then it was no longer the Jews, the Israelites, but God had promised Abram from the beginning of time that all people, everybody will be blessed if they believe. So then he says, justify the Gentiles by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations are blessed. God was preaching from heaven, letting Abram know that you are going to give seed, and your seed is going to multiply, and every believer becomes a seed of Abraham, thereby becoming, listen, a seed of the true seed, which is Jesus Christ, who came through all these generations so that we might be saved through faith. Amen. Verse number 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. What you believe. Here's the thing. God did it all when he sent his son. Listen, every promise made over your life has been fulfilled. Now you got to walk into them. We have been doing what the Israelites were doing in the wilderness. We have been wandering, complaining, looking at what we have, looking at what we have not, talking about what we have, and talking about what we have not. We have been wandering. Situation goes one way, we start talking about the wrong way it went because we're wandering. Wandering will keep you from walking. When you're walking in God, you are going somewhere. Wanderers go nowhere. We have been delayed from destiny because we have wandered in our mind. The Israelites were delayed from the promised land because they were wandering in their mind. Do you know our mind? We try to figure everything out and we try to know it all. I was talking to God the other night. I was talking to him. And I was like, God, this is happening. This is happening. You're doing this. You're doing this. This is what your word says. He said, shut up, Felix. He said, shut up. He wasn't even nice. In other words, he was like, I'm sick of you.
Why are you trying to figure out everything? If you were supposed to figure it out, why would I give you a vehicle called faith that I have to work out? And I said, I'm sorry. And I sat down and I said, Lord, help me. Help me ride in this limo that you're chauffeuring. Help me appreciate this ride. Because I know if you my driver, everything going to be all right. I'm going to get to the right place at the right time, and everything that's supposed to be there will be there. Why? Because you promised. He said, you wasn't like this when I first saved you. When promise entered you, all you wanted to talk about was Jesus. Now what you want to talk about is what I'm doing next. I had to repent. Because God don't want me to figure it out. What credit would be for him if I have it all figured out? He wants us to faith it out so that we could see how he works it out. Amen. So then, when we were yet faithless, Jesus, it's time to focus on covenant. Now I gotta give them the true covenant. So then the promised Redeemer comes, born of the virgin, as Isaiah talked about it. He comes and he dies on the cross. And believers, get this, believers who never saw it yet believe it. Is there any believers in here? Never saw it, but know without a doubt it is valid. You want to know why? Because of faith. You can't even explain how you believe what you believe, because it comes through revelation. And God is so awesome in his revelation that we can't explain it to no one. No one can explain your relationship to anyone except God himself, because he must be revealed. Faith takes you to revelation. As you believe, he can trust you with more, so he will reveal more. You only saw this much of them. Next week, after this word, you'll get this much. You keep coming all month, he might take his whole coat off. But he's to reveal through faith that justified you. Jesus gave up everything. He died, and you believe it. He was raised on the and you believe it. And he made you joint heirs with him, and you believe it. Well, if he died for you, the least we could do is live for him. Give God a hand of praise.